reading for today is taken from the Song of Solomon, also known as Song of Songs, the second chapter beginning with the 10th verse. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. My Bonnie lies over the ocean. My Bonnie lies over the sea. My Bonnie lies over the ocean. Oh, bring back my Bonnie to me. Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from you. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful, it's true. It's common for each generation to express romantic love in song. And if you look at many of the songs, maybe you could even say the majority of the songs deal with the relationship between a man and a woman, many of the popular songs in our culture. Falling in love is one of those very fun and wonderful things. Some would say it is the height of joy that you can feel in this life. And it's only natural that human beings would find ways to express that wonderful feeling and that joy that comes from that in song. The words of our text before us today are just that, a song of love between two individuals, if you will. It's often referred to, this book, as the Song of Songs, which technically in the Hebrew would mean the greatest of songs. If you want to say the ultimate love song right here before us. Even though the name of God is never used in the book of Song of Songs, yet the faithful in Christ's church throughout the years and centuries have found in this wonderful book an expression of God's great love toward the members of his church, toward his faithful. God here speaks about his love for his bride, the church, the true spiritual Israel, those who cling to him for the hope of salvation. And this is a common theme that we see throughout the Bible, this concept of God seeing his relationship to his believers reflected in the love between a man and a woman, a young married couple, let's say. We see this picture in Psalm 45, in the book of the prophet Hosea. Other prophets use it. Jesus himself refers to himself as the bridegroom. And especially in the text we'll have this Friday from Ephesians chapter 5. It's interesting that this Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, this love song, was read in the Jewish community at the time of the Passover, whenever the Passover would be celebrated. And what better time could there be? What greater historic event in the lives of Old Testament Israel, what greater event could there have been to show God's dedication and commitment to them as his beloved that he sought out and even rescued in Egypt, and how he provided the lamb that had to be sacrificed, and through the life of that lamb, by the blood shed by that lamb, their lives were now spared and they would be brought to the wonderful new land of the new land, their homeland. And what a picture that has always been then, likewise, for the members of God's church in this world. God's love and faithfulness to Israel was very evident throughout the Old Testament in a variety of different things that took place. Think about the Israelites as they were in captivity in Egypt and in slavery and under such an oppressive regime of the Pharaoh. And God now comes through those 10 plagues, and the final 10th plague is that plague of the Passover, when the angel of death goes across the land and kills the firstborn in every household and so on, except for those protected by the blood of the Lamb, a beautiful picture of the coming work of Christ. And he takes them that night, his own chosen people, and rescues them by having Moses lead them out into the wilderness. And the miraculous parting of the Red Sea. Imagine the people walking through the walls of those waters and being reminded again of God's miraculous deliverance for them. They get to the bitter waters of Marah, and there God miraculously again has a tree thrown into the water to make that water now sweet. The manna that they would go out and collect in the morning to nourish them and take care of their bodies. We think of the water that flowed out of the rock miraculously to provide them with sustenance. And the victory over the Amalekites in the area of Rephidim. And all of this happens before they get to Mount Sinai. Think of all of the amazing displays that God had given them in just those matter of days. And yet when we get to Sinai, when Moses delays on the mountain, the people start to grumble against their God. The very God that has provided them with his deliverance and done all of these things for them, the people start to grumble and complain. And they go to their leaders and say, "Come, make us gods that will go before us." And so everybody contributes their earrings and their bracelets and all of their gold and jewelry, and they melt it down and form a golden calf to bow down to. The fickle heart of God's people. The fickle heart of God's lover to be so unfaithful to him. Think about Peter, Jesus' own disciple, right in his midst, one who watched his miracles take place, who got the privilege of sitting daily at the feet of Christ to hear him preach and teach and talk, and all the things that he observed for probably a 3-year period. And yet the night of our Lord's arrest, he denies that he has anything to do with him. The fickle heart, even of the members of God's church. But we're not any different. Think how much God has loved us and made us his own in the waters of baptism, connecting us, marrying us to himself, shows us such great commitment and dedication to us and has given us so many blessings in our lives and has given us the promise of everlasting life in heaven, and we still can't be faithful to him. We're still filled with infidelity toward God in this relationship. We find ourselves lusting after the materialism of this world, going after the gods of this culture and of this world that would draw us away from the true God. It's a constant tug on our heart. It's so challenging for us to remain faithful to our faithful God who has been so faithful to us. But God continues to love his bride. A number of years ago, I had to go and speak to a man. I have a devotion for a man who had been burned on over 60% of his body, and he ended up dying a few days later. What had happened was he had been in a boathouse underneath his home where his boat could come in off the lake, right under in a garage underneath the home, and the engine had exploded and caught the entire cabin on fire. And he ran out of it and then went back inside to try to find his wife, who he knew had been inside. Turned out she had escaped through another door, and he wasn't aware of it. And he went in to rescue her. And his love for his wife drove him back inside and ultimately took his life. Where does that kind of love and dedication and commitment come from? If it can exist in sinful mortal people like us, just think how strong and perfect it must be in the perfect and holy God who can create that kind of love. How much greater and stronger must the love and commitment of our faithful God be to us through Christ and through his Holy Spirit? God continues to love us, even though we are so often full of infidelity toward him. And we see that even with Jesus when he goes back to that very same Peter who had denied him, pretended he wasn't married to him by faith. Christ goes back to him after he's resurrected and confronts him and gently brings him back into the fold and takes him back. Martin Luther says this about the Song of Solomon. Where faith has been created, there God dwells, and he kisses and embraces his dear bride with his word, which is the kiss of his lips. Whenever we hear the word of our gracious God, who just keeps on forgiving us over and over and over again, who keeps taking us back despite how unfaithful we are, who keeps lavishing us with his grace and keeps promising us the beautiful home above in the great wedding feast that is to come. What a wonderful picture of our faithful and gracious God. And it's that very God who calls to you today, even through my mouth, with these words. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Join him. Amen. Please rise. I ask you now to turn to page 169. 169 in the front part of your hymn book. We will use there the prayer for Wednesday morning. Unto you, O Heavenly Father, I direct my first thoughts and lift up my heart in prayer, that I may live and walk in you alone. Be my fortress this day, as you have been my protection through this night, for which I thank you with my whole heart. Watch this day also over my soul and my members. May I also turn to you in true penitence. Cleanse me from all wickedness and uncleanness. May I walk in your fear in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and trusting in his precious merits, I give myself to you altogether with all that you have bestowed upon me. Bless me in him with whatever pleases you. Grant me wisdom and strength to perform the duties of the calling in which you have placed me. May your holy angels accompany me and mine in all our ways, and help us to walk together in love in the narrow path which leads to your heaven. To this end, help us by your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Go in peace. Amen.